You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrack.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll look at a conflict between Wisconsin's governor and the state education superintendent over a new plan for schools in the state.
First, while it's still a low number, the percentage of stay-at-home dads has risen from 1% to 4% since the 1970s. And for the first time in 5 years, more dads are choosing to stay at home rather than being at home with the kids while looking for work. And today, networking groups for at-home dads are working to lessen some of the downsides, things like isolation and social stigma.
Chris Routley joins us now. He's an author, illustrator, and a board member of the National At-Home Dad Network. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What do you say to this news that most stay-at-home dads are now staying-at-home dads by choice?
Well, what I'd say is I'm really happy to see that, because that actually is exactly what we have seen play out. Our membership and organization, the attendance at our annual convention, the majority of guys are doing it by choice. They haven't been forced into it. So I'm glad to see that we finally have some numbers on there. I think one of the things we need to be careful about is how we define stay-at-home dad can often really affect these numbers. Because a lot of stay-at-home dads are doing the full-time caregiver role, but are also doing some sort of work, and so they're not counted. So there's a lot of issues like that that we try to kind of talk about, that caregiving is a job, and that if you are a full-time caregiver, that you're not out of work, I guess. These numbers really stand up with what we see.
And I think it was especially during the recession, there were parents, fathers at home with kids because maybe they lost a job. And it seems as though the trend now is that this is something that a significant number of fathers are saying, yeah, this is what I want to do. And maybe I am doing some work from home as well. But this is a choice that's shifted things. Why do you think that choice is becoming more popular?
Well, it's funny. I get asked a lot about, or I hear pointed out, the recession and there was this rise in stay-at-home dads during that, and that the issue was about the recession and that traditionally male jobs were being lost, and that's why they stayed home. And I always felt like the big story that was being missed there was how this showed what a social change had happened and was happening, because we'd had recessions before and not seen that happen. And I think it really was indicative of how men are looking at what works for their family and saying, I'm not going to tell somebody that I can't take care of my kid. And so, yes, that recession definitely meant a lot of men stayed home, but all of a sudden they felt like being the caregiver for my child is an option rather than something I need to farm out because I need to be unemployed as short as possible. And at that point, maybe they saw that this situation works really well for our family, and they stayed that way. And that wouldn't have happened if not for the changes of acceptance of men as caregivers, slowly being accepted as caregivers, and that more and more women have options in terms of a job that can actually support a family.
So are you saying you think that this trend would have happened with or without the recession, or are you saying that it opened up an avenue that a lot of dads were eager to take up on?
I think it's a little both. I mean, every family story is different, and I'm certain that there are a lot of men who were suddenly put in this position, not by choice at that point, and they thrived in it, or the experience changed their perspective about whether this was something that men can or should do. We're treated in a lot of ways, or have been, as like men are naturally incompetent at this sort of thing, and then they realize, even if they went back to work as soon as possible, then there's one more man out in the workforce who realizes, number one, how hard it is to be a stay-at-home parent, but also, number two, that it's not something that is somehow beneath a man to do, or that they are incapable of doing it. And I think the more people in society that just realize that, which is usually through their own personal experiences or those of people that they know, I think it just becomes a more equitable world where families can function the way that they choose, the way that works best for them, rather than feeling constrained by gender boxes.
Right. And you were saying before that society is slowly shifting. You said slowly a couple times, and it made me think. I was doing some research for our talk today, and I saw that the term stay-at-home dads auto-filled with the words are losers on Google. That's not what I was Googling, but it popped up. So is there still a stigma today about being a father who stays home with kids?
Yeah, absolutely there is a stigma, and I think that we have to be honest with ourselves that there will be for some time. However, there's still been such significant shifts that even that, you know, that kind of statement obviously comes from a place of ignorance as opposed to a place of being like the standard idea about fathers. Because we do talk now about how good it is for children to have their fathers be involved. We talk a lot about absentee fathers and how that can affect a family. And so I think that people are practical enough to say, even if I don't understand their choice, even if I don't think I could do it myself or whatever their reason is, when they look at a dad who is really hands-on and involved with his kids, even if he's not a stay-home father, we see that as a healthy thing. We see that as being good for that family in much larger numbers than we ever have before.
Talking right now to Chris Routley, board member of the National At-Home Dad Network, talking about news that more stay-at-home dads are there by choice. And Chris, your group, the At-Home Dads Network, is trying to provide support to dads who stay home with their kids maybe full-time. What kind of support do you think that fathers like this need?
Well, we have four pillars of our organization. We try to do as much advocacy as we can to kind of speak out for fathers, whether that's talking about, media portrayals and how that, you know, can really affect how people see things. Everyone's familiar with the sitcom dad, you know, the bumbling father. So calling that kind of stuff out. We try to help them find community, whether that's in a local group where they are of other dads that they can find or a virtual community online. So a lot of guys going to the role of stay-home dad, and they're in a small town somewhere, and they don't see any other fathers out on the playground, and it can be very isolating. So it's really important. We focus on education for them to help get them resources for just how to be a better dad or a better parent in general. And we offer support in terms of, especially at our at-home dad convention, what we call Home Dad Con, where they can just, you know, just being in a room with 150 other guys who get it can really play a very strong role in helping them to see value in what they do, to know that they're not alone in the areas where they struggle, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a broad spectrum of what people need, and we want to do our best in order to fill those needs.
So when you are in a room with 150 other at-home dads, what do you hear from them about the toughest thing about being in that role?
Overwhelmingly, people talk about isolation as the toughest thing. And how difficult it is to kind of do something about that really depends on the individual dad's circumstances. Often geographic circumstances is a big part of that. But that is the main thing, is that when you take on this role, it usually doesn't take very long before you realize, you know, I can't sit at home with the baby. I need to get out. I need to have adult conversation. And you realize that it can be really, really hard to find for a dad who shows up at the playground and is, you know, treated, sometimes literally told, asked if they're a predator, you know, or you go to the library for story time and they call it Mommy and Me, even though they say everyone's welcome. Like, those kinds of messages make people feel like this is not a space where I am welcome. And they have to decide at that point, you know, am I just going to give up looking for support or am I going to build something or what they're going to do? That tends to be the biggest struggle.
Now, my kids are still little, and I can remember being home more often with them than I am now. And I know that there are these networks of moms that build up. People approach each other pretty openly at groups and on the playground. What kind of advice do you have for dads at home who do want a network? Just what should they do?
Well, I feel strongly that embracing the role and being proud of it can have a huge effect, especially amongst friends and family and where you are. I mean, we talk about the awkward party that you go to and someone asks, what do you do? And when you say you're a stay-at-home dad, that can often just shut down conversation. So people will fall back on what they used to do or what they're planning on doing later. I found that when I stopped apologizing for what I did and talked about how it's the hardest and the best job I've ever had, to talk about it like a job, treat it like a job, and, you know, and try to be professional at what I do, the people around me picked up on that. And at that point, it became a lot easier, I guess, to find other people who saw me and got to know me a little bit and weren't kind of put off by the fact that I wasn't the mom, you know. So you also have to be very accepting of the fact that sometimes those people just are not ready, you know, and you move on. And, you know, I went on a lot of first dates, I guess, with dads where we'd meet up with our kids and go and do something and I'd never see them again. And that happened. But, you know, getting online was a really big help for me. And, you know, when I finally found the At Home Dad Network and I could, you know, be writing to people and in discussion groups talking about stuff without having to just sit in the playground and hope another dad shows up, you know?
Talking to Chris Rowley right now. He's a board member of the National At Home Dad Network. And we're talking about news that more stay-at-home dads are there now by choice.
And we want to hear from you. Are you an at-home dad? Call in at 800-642-1234. And if this is you, did you make the choice to stay home, or was it the work world that forced you into it? Did you start it because you were out of a job and then decide, hey, this is right for me? What do you like about being a stay-at-home dad? And what do you think people get wrong about it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now we're picking up our conversation with Chris Rowley. He's a board member of the National At-Home Dad Network. And we're talking about the news that more stay-at-home dads are there because they want to be.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? Are you an at-home dad, or is there one in your family? Did you make the choice to stay at home? What do you think about it? Do people get it? Or do you get weird looks and weird comments? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And let's go to our first caller. We've got Lauren joining us in Green Bay. Lauren, hi.
Hi.
What is your story?
My wife and I moved to Green Bay about 5 years ago when our daughter was 3 months old for a new job to a new area. And we didn't know anything about childcare in the area or job availability for myself. And my wife asked me if I would be interested in being a stay-at-home dad. And at first I was kind of floored by it. I was like, wow, it's not something I'd ever thought of doing. And then I started doing it, and it was really hard. 'Cause, you know, as any parent of a new child, newborn, knows, like, it's just, you know, you kind of learn as you go, and it can be really difficult. And then being the only one there doing that stuff is hard. And then learning a new area, and the director of that national organization mentioned that kind of going to the park and feeling kind of weird or awkward, being the only guy there with a kid. That's been me multiple times.
And so it's been a little while, it sounds like. How's it going now? How do you like it?
I really enjoy it. I've tried a few times to go into part-time work, and sometimes it will work well with our schedules, and sometimes it doesn't. And then after our second child was born about 2.5 years ago, I was working, and then it didn't work to be part-time and find childcare to cover when my wife was at work and when I was at work. So then I went essentially back to being a full-time at home. And then I offered myself up as a kind of a backup babysitter to some friends. And then that kind of turned into now I provide some childcare for friends at my home. And actually I got to check on one in just a minute. He's getting a little upset.
I heard little voices in the background. Well,
yeah,
great.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Lauren. What did you want to add?
Oh, no, just the little stuff of life. I picked up my oldest from school, and we played at the park, and it was, again, hanging out with all the moms that were there, but I'm now part of PTO at my daughter's school, And there's two other dads on PTO, the executive board. So her school is a very active, a lot of dads active in the school too, which is kind of cool to have as well.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing all that with us, Lauren. And Chris, there's a picture of Lauren who's kind of dipped his toes in the water, surprised him that he, you know, this was an option. And he's really expanded his interest in it and helping out other friends, an active role in the community. Is that the kind of story that you're hearing more of lately?
Yes. I mean, his Lauren's story is very indicative of most guys. And you know, we asked the question about, like, is this a choice or is this, like, an economic necessity? And sometimes that it's very muddy waters because there's a lot that goes into that choice. You know, when Lauren talks about coming to a new town and not being able to find a job or not knowing what's available, to some people that would be he couldn't find a job, so he stayed at home. But it really comes down to a practical choice. And for them, it was what was going to work best for our family. Ultimately, was for him to be at home, that finding some work could absolutely, you know, contribute to the family's finances. But they make a value choice about saying what really means a lot to our family, and her income is better than his, or he has a more flexible work schedule. So it's those kinds of things that may be connected to employment, but not really a cut and dry, he's doing this because he lost his job or is underemployed, which tends to be the stereotype about stay-at-home dads.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for that call. And we go next to Bill, who's with us in Milwaukee. Bill, hello.
Well, hello. You know, my story is pretty much, I was working in television. I got laid off, and we did the numbers. My wife had a better job than I did. The cost of daycare was kind of like prohibitive. So that kind of elected me to be the stay-at-home dad. Ends up, I'm, like, working in the workforce now. My kids are graduated from high school. They're in college. My youngest is in college. My oldest graduated last year. And my experience with staying at home ends up training me for this job I have at the Simple Soyman, making tofu and other natural stuff. I mean, like, I've got, like, this awesome kitchen sense. It's just, no, really. And then, you know, I mean, sure, my wife really certainly managed our family really well, being so intuitive that she is. But, no, it was really satisfying. But, you know, but the stigma of being the stay-at-home dad, you know, like, yeah, that was certainly a thing. And what you were mentioning before about, you know, like, how do you explain what you do, you know? But every woman that I talked to was like, you go, man. That is so cool. I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to just ramble.
It's all right, Bill. I like your enthusiasm. You're obviously really happy, and things turned out really well for Bill, too. He's got a vocation, a new one, I should say, that grew out of what he did with his family, raising his family. But I want to zero in on one part we haven't talked too much about, is the cost of childcare, Chris, because we had a couple callers mention this now about how that was a factor, too. Is the cost of childcare a part of the story we're telling here?
Absolutely. Yeah, when we just had our at-home dad convention last week in Portland, and as part of the registration, people fill in, you know, the reasons, you know, they can check more than one, but that applied to why they are in this role. And about a third of the people who came to the convention said that childcare being too expensive played a role in their decision as a family. So that's absolutely something that, you know, is on people's minds. It is very tough to be a single income household for anybody. And then once you start having kids, that childcare can really add up. And so you crunch the numbers and discover, simply economically, it makes more sense for someone to be home quite often so that you don't have that. You know, you don't want somebody working just so that they can be paying for childcare, right? And instead, they get to be with their kids and get all the value from that as well. So definitely a big factor.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate that. As we talk to Chris Routley, who is a board member of the National At-Home Dad Network, and we'll take another call now. Ashley is with us in Coloma. Ashley, hi.
Hi. I was curious as to what was most difficult for your guest transition. Now, I went from being a full-time worker when my husband and I got together and through our first child And then after our second child was born, we decided to homeschool, and I stopped working to be a stay-at-home mom. And the hardest thing for me was trying to find value in the everyday work that you do at home with the kids. Mm-hmm. When for so long your contribution is a monetary one, and you can see that pretty instantaneous with bills getting paid or savings and stuff like that.
Interesting question.
Yeah, about a year or so to be okay with, you know what, being a parent is more than enough of a contribution.
Ashley, yeah. Thanks so much. I'm glad you brought that up. Is that something that has to shift for moms and dads, Chris, as you go through this, thinking that your contribution isn't something that has a dollar attached to it anymore necessarily?
Absolutely. You know, there's still a lot of people who hold on to this idea that a man's primary job is to provide for his family. And so there definitely is this period of adjustment and kind of intentional, you know, work you have to do yourself to understand that provision is more than money, you know, that our kids need our time more than they need things that we can buy for them. You know, that really what you contribute, even simply what I contribute towards my wife's ability to pursue her career, is to her really valuable. You know, there's a lot of kind of assumptions that when you're a stay-at-home parent, especially a stay-at-home dad, there's a lot of talk about once the kids go to school, then you're off the hook, you know, and that you'll go back to work. And it was actually when my eldest started into kindergarten that I realized how much my being home was still adding value to our family, despite the fact that one of my children was out the door for 6 hours a day, that all of the practical necessities of having kids at school to drop off and pick up that fall both within an 8-hour work shift, right, or being called to the school for various things, that the fact that my wife doesn't have to leave her job and come and deal with anything, she doesn't have to worry about sick days when one of the kids are sick.
Yeah, we got to leave it there. Chris, great conversation. Thanks so much for joining us. That was Chris Routley, author and illustrator and board member of the National At Home Dad Network. You can leave your comments on the Ideas Network Facebook page.